Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 64 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
And Scott's sitting alongside next to us in for her yearly WrestleMania trip review, the lovely editor, Celeste. Celeste, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this episode, we have the winner of the March Madness tournament that we had.
Can't wait.
We got Jax Classic Series 24. We've got some news. Everyone will figure out by the end of this episode why I sound like this and why I feel like this. So just hold off until the end of the episode to hear why. Is that leaving them in suspense?
It is, but I'm sure we can pretty much guess it. Might have had something to do with what happened last weekend.
Oh, what could that be? Oh, yeah, Mania.
That little event that happened in Orlando, you know.
My yearly episode.
The best way to support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net and pick up one of those Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirts. Scott, I was wearing mine around Florida. It did not prevent me from getting sick, I'll tell you that much, but it still was comfortable. It was still comfortable.
And apparently it might have worked in getting us a record number of downloads?
I think so. I'm not sure what happened there, but yes.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about the mega powers exploding. It seems like the Fully Posable podcast also exploded.
Yes, we had a good number of downloads last week, and I don't know if it was because of Chris. Not last week, but the week before. And I don't know if it was because of Chris, but it was due to something. So we'll chalk it up. That was very beneficial to the podcast.
Yeah, a number of things. I think it was Chris. Absolutely having Chris on. It was you promoting the show while you were at WrestleMania, and it was our listeners. Man, they continue to tune in every week and download the episodes, and man, what a ride, dude. That was so exciting when you sent me that number for our downloads. I mean, just blew our old record out of the water. So thank you to everyone that's listening and supporting us. Please continue to do so, and we'll keep putting out the shows.
Yep, and you can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. And Scott, I think I may have thought of one more W and one more F.
What about a P?
Oh, never mind. I'm out.
See what happens when you try to do things on the fly?
Well, okay, so it was Fully Posable. W is in Wildfire Tommy Rich.
Excellent.
F, and this is credit to our friend Big Dave. F is in Frenchie Martin.
Oh, wow, that's really taking it back. That's a good call. Well done.
And P as in
the Punjabi prison match.
There you go.
I contribute where I can.
At gmail.com. Scott, we'll go to you. Did you do any toy spot in this past week?
Yes, I did, and unfortunately came up empty-handed. I'm still trying to get my hands on those Warrior and Taker Hasbro throwbacks. I'm still unable to find those. Nothing to report aside from that. Nothing at Target. I've only seen the Booker Hall of Fame so far. That's the only one I've been able to spot at our local Target. And Walmart is still just bone dry on everything. They still have one Brock Lesnar and one Roman Reigns Hasbro sitting on the pegs, so that's a big downer. And let me just say too, normally the opening segment is very rousing and Jeff's full of energy, but right now Jeff has a fever of about 101 and he can't stop coughing. So kudos to our normal host for pushing through and being a soldier for our listeners. Good job, dude. Keep it up.
Thanks, man. I was sitting in bed today and I'm like, how am I going to get through the podcast? I'm going to be sitting there in a pile of sweat because my fever, but the Tamiflu's kicking in. So hopefully I'll make it through for our listeners and for you especially, Scott. I do it for you.
Well, thank you. And try not to plug Tamiflu again. They're not an official sponsor, so we don't want to give them too much love.
Well, they're helping me through, so I give them a ton of credit right now.
Oh, good enough.
We did do Toy Spot, and we actually got into Florida at about, what'd you say, about 12:30?
Yeah, about 12:30.
It was about 12:30. Got to our room at about, after getting the rented car, getting our luggage, all that stuff.
12:30 a.m., right?
Yeah, 12:30 Florida time, East Coast time. And got to our room, and then we realized we needed waters and just little trinkets for the room.
Trinkets? Like trinkets. Hot Wheels and things?
Or food items.
Oh, okay. I heard trinkets and was thinking like, you know, Christmas ornaments or Hot Wheels, perhaps a little plastic dinosaur of sorts.
No. We
not those type of trinkets.
No, we ended up getting like water and food. We did look for some trinkets, but we did not end up bringing them back.
Okay. Well, water and food makes way more sense than like little plastic dinosaurs and Hot Wheels.
So we went to Walmart at about 2:30 in the morning. Did a little Toy Spot, and of course, no Warrior Taker. Didn't have anything new on the shelves. Picked up our stuff. Finally got to bed at about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Next day, went to Universal. Didn't do any Toy Spot in there. I don't know why I had to mention that, but...
Well, you know, we've had the conversation that Universal in the past did carry the classic LJN wrestling figures. So if you had said you'd done toy spotting there, I would have believed you.
Oh, good call, dude. I didn't even think about that. If anything, they might have had some old school TNA figures, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, they have been known to carry wrestling figures. So that would classify as toy spotting if you did hunt for them.
And then on Monday night, the editor did some toy spotting too.
Oh, yeah. I went to... Well, we did some toy spotting at WrestleMania, but we'll get into that at the end. But I did go to another Walmart in Florida, a different one. They have a few there, and did some toy spotting. They had the four original Hasbros, no new ones, and they had some good figures, but not anything we were looking for.
So that was about it for the toy spotting, and then I got home Tuesday night. And there was no way I've been leaving the house since then.
No, you've pretty much been bedridden. This is the first like major activity you've had since you got back is podcasting.
Yeah, the first activity of me leaving the bed and coming to the front room is now. And that's 2 days later, dude.
And that is simply to podcast and then right back to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Orlando was not kind to our host.
Scott, we've got some news. Do you want to hit that up?
Yeah, let's talk about that news.
You didn't know?
Scott, I'm taking the news off this week. Why don't you go for it?
Yeah, I guess I'll give you a day off. You deserve one every once in a while. We saw some pictures this week. They showed us the battle pack, Gallows and Anderson. And we also saw the Mankind SummerSlam Elite figure that's going to be coming out. That Mankind figure, pretty sweet. He's the old school with the... I guess it would have been his run when he was like corporate Mankind, because he's got the white dress shirt and he's got a tie on, and the tie actually has little WWE logos on it. Comes with the World Heavyweight Championship and his mask. Jeff, what are your thoughts on the Gallows and Anderson and Mankind SummerSlam Elite?
That Gallows and Anderson has the possibility to be the best battle pack I've ever seen.
Well, you know, aside from the Revival.
I mean, yeah, that's good too.
Sorry, I was just being a total mark right there. I apologize.
Oh, it's okay, Mark. the Gallus and Anderson does have a possibility to be the best battle pack I've ever seen, next to the CM Punk and Macho Man.
Yeah, I agree. That Gallus and Anderson, I mean, they just knocked it right out of the park. Great looking set. What'd you think of the Mankind?
Mankind was good, actually. I have so many Mankind, Dude Love, Cactus Jack, Mick Foley figures that I'm kind of like desensitized to him. It's like, okay, another Mankind.
So this one didn't jump off the page at you as like, wow, that's a really well done Mankind figure.
No, it did, but I'm not going to get it because I have so many of them, to say the least.
Okay.
So are you getting it?
Yeah. That one and the Finn Elite that are going to be coming out together, for me, no doubt that's a purchase. I don't, unlike you, I don't have a lot of Mankind figures. I've got the LJN throwback one that I had him sign at Wrestle Reunion in 2012. So this one, I definitely want to add to my collection, then watch for him to come around and do a signing. I really like that Mankind Elite a lot. Really well done. So I'm going to guess this would be the one that was in, the three-way with him and Stone Cold and The Rock for the heavyweight title. Is that correct? From that SummerSlam, I believe it was 99?
Was that The Rock or Triple H?
Oh, maybe it was Triple H, yes. I'd have to go back and watch.
I think it was 99.
Okay, 98, 99, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's that Mankind era. We also saw the pictures from Elite 49. That was Becky Lynch, Enzo and Cass, Brutus the Barber, Warlord, and Stephanie.
Yeah, people started receiving those. And the Becky Lynch looks, the face on it is such a big improvement.
Huge improvement, yes.
And I'm thoroughly impressed by it. As I said before, it's not 100%, but it's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That Becky for me is a must purchase. We also saw a picture. Oh, the Enzo and Cass too from the Elite series. Outstanding.
Oh, the Enzo's terrific.
We also got pictures of a few more pictures of the Macho Man defining moment. This is the one that's going to come out commemorating his WrestleMania 3 bout against Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. It comes with the robe, comes with a white headband. I'm going to say this one is missing something, and what it's missing is the Intercontinental title.
Actually, you are not the first one to say that. A lot of people have said that IC title is what's missing in that.
I don't understand why they wouldn't include... I mean, because he came to the ring with the Intercontinental belt. I don't understand why they wouldn't include that with him. It doesn't make any sense to me, and maybe, again, we're only seeing prototype images. These are early renderings and... pictures of what we're going to be getting, but it's not the finished product by any stretch, so they could still include that Intercontinental title, and I'm hoping that they do.
I'm wondering if it's a cost-effective move. The robe might have been a little bit too much to make.
It could have, and the way that he's positioned in the package, it looks like he's got his arms outstretched, so it's stretching the robe out, so there may not have been a good place to include the Intercontinental title in the bubble. I'm just hoping that they correct that and they do include that belt. It's going to totally complete that and make that a perfect defining moments action figure.
I agree. That's going to be a fantastic one. It'll probably be better than his WrestleMania 7 one.
It's definitely going to be up there. I need to see the finished product because what I've seen so far doesn't look better than the WrestleMania 7 Macho defining moments. But I really want to see that finished product and put it side by side and then gauge it off of that. So far, it looks good, but it's not perfect. It needs a little bit extra something with that figure.
And you think it's the IC title?
I think it's the IC title and maybe a different headband. It throws it off a little bit. He's got the sunglasses on. It looks really good, but I want to see what the finished product looks like. I've got a few little nitpicks on it. We also saw pictures of the SummerSlam 2-packs. Kind of like battle packs, but they're specifically from SummerSlam matches of years past. And those consisted of Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton and the Ultimate Warrior and the Honky Tonk Man. I will say right off the bat, I don't like the Brock head scan at all. I think it's a lousy head scan. It definitely doesn't look like Brock Lesnar or any human being that I've ever seen, to be honest with you. Not a fan. The Randy Orton does look good. And the Ultimate Warrior and Honky Tonk Man 2-pack. The Ultimate Warrior looks fantastic. Honky looks really good. The only thing that I'm going to complain about that 2-pack really is the height difference. And I don't, again, we only saw prototype images. I don't know if it's the actual finished product or not, but the height difference between them is glaring. Like Warrior looks like he has like a good foot and a half, 2 foot height advantage over Honky Tonk Man. And I don't recall Ultimate Warrior being that much taller than the Honky Tonk Man.
No, I agree with you that... That is like a noticeable thing. I don't know if it's going to detract anybody, but I did see that also.
Yeah, I will say that was the one thing that definitely caught my eye. But if you're going to purchase this, it's definitely going to be all about that Ultimate. The Honky's good, but it's going to be all about that Ultimate Warrior figure. That is an outstanding figure. Kind of reminds me of the outfit that he's got in that one Mattel Legends series. The one where he's holding up the Intercontinental title, not the heavyweight one, but the Intercontinental title. It's kind of that same outfit. They pulled it right out of that SummerSlam match. Outstanding Warrior figure. Well done. Ringside also this week released pictures from Basic Series 74. And that set is Bayley, Cena, Kane. And Kane is in his throwback costume, the red mask and the two sleeves. Neville, Roman Reigns, minus tattoos, and Samoa Joe. Back to the Roman Reigns. Yes, I did say minus tattoos. Go figure. It's a basic. Yeah,
he has orange on his vest, but no tattoos. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't, there's got to be an explanation. Again, this is a prototype. It's not a finished product. Although they do show them on the card, and on the card, no tattoos. Kind of weird. Even basics that I've seen in the past have had the tattoos, so I'm not sure what's going on there.
The Kane was actually really good.
Kane's outstanding. For a basic figure, that's probably a must purchase just to open. Finally, the last piece of news this week is Ringside did release pictures, both on card and loose, of Elite Series 50. And that one consists of Baron Corbin, John Cena, Rhino, Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon, and Warlord. Killer set. Stephanie's really well done. The Baron Corbin, which I think we can go all the way back to like episode one or two of the Fully Posable podcast, and we talked about what they could do with the Baron Corbin Elite. Well, here it is. It looks amazing. Warlord, really well done. Captures him in his singles run, unfortunately, and not his Powers of Pain run. Jeff, what do you think about this set?
I love how a Rhino comes with the SmackDown tag title. The Baron Corbin is definitely a figure I'm gonna snag. Warlord, yeah. Warlord, I don't know. I think I will. More than likely, I will. Stephanie, I'll definitely be picking up.
Yeah, I definitely think the Stephanie figure is the best one of those six.
I think Warlord is a definite pass for me. I'm going to wait until they do a Powers of Pain, because if they have Warlord singles character, they'll probably also do a Warlord in his Powers of Pain run. I'm going to wait for that one. I think it's going to be better. Cena's obviously a pass. Rhino looks really good, like you mentioned, with the tag titles. That's a great ad. But the one that I think a lot of people are going to pick up, maybe just for the accessory, and the figure is going to be a bonus, Shane McMahon. He comes with an announce table.
You think the announce table is going to move him for or move it?
Yeah, if anything, just to be able to put Shane through it. For all those people with the Hell in the Cell accessory, man, how cool is that? Now you have an announce table that comes with a Shane McMahon figure that you could have him jump through all day. Man, I wish I was 12 years old again, I swear.
People are going to be launching them all over the place, dude.
Exactly. But yeah, it's a cool accessory. They're putting the announce table with it. Great ad. And that pretty much wraps up our Mattel news for the week. There was quite a bit of it coming out of WrestleMania. We'll move on to FTC news. And starting off with the Blue Meanie, Figures Toy Company on their website has put up an autographed Blue Meanie figure that comes with a certificate of authenticity. Chris was able to get a handful of the Blue Meanie signed at WrestleCon this past weekend. So if you're interested in a signed Blue Meanie with a certificate of authenticity, head over to Figures Toy Company and pick one up. That's a great figure. Apparently, also, someone tweeted EC3 about having a figure made. And Chris tweeted and said that EC3 has an open invitation to join the Figures Toy Company family and get a figure made. EC3 responded and said, yeah, let's talk again. Makes sense. So all you fans that have been tweeting hardcore to get an EC3 figure made, keep your fingers crossed. It looks like it might be coming. Yep. Finally, an interesting note. FTC has a new follower in the form of Marty Scurll.
Somebody posted a picture of Marty Scurll with the ROH TV title on him.
Yes.
Because he has a Rev Pro figure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to go look that up. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He had him for sale at WrestleCon.
Oh, okay.
Somebody posted the picture of him with the ROH TV title. Chris tweeted and said, looks good, but it would look better as an FTC figure.
Marty, well done.
Marty Scurll started following FTC second it was Chris sent that tweet.
That's awesome. Well, it only makes sense. I mean, he's in ROH. Figures Toy Company has the ROH license. Oh, dude, that would be sweet if they made one of him.
Oh, I know. There's a good crop of guys that they could just do in that ROH line.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to see who they score next, because I think they have all the way through a Series 4 planned out. So it's going to be interesting to see who they get beyond that. And I'm excited, man.
Scott, Jack's Classic Series 24. We're coming to the end of this. We'll have to start thinking about what the next Jack's thing will cover.
Yeah, we can sprinkle in another set of two packs or two. And then, yeah, we're going to be done with the Classic Superstars. It's been quite a ride. Man, I don't even know what to move to next. We've even discussed Toy Biz already, which was your favorite. I don't know. We'll have to decide. Maybe the listeners can kind of tell us which ones they want us to go to next.
Yeah. So, Scott, Jack's Classic Series 24. We'll hit that up after the music.
I came to play.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Scott, Jack's Classic Series 24, what you got?
Yep, Jack's Classic Series 24 consisted of Rey Mysterio, Davey Boy Smith, and Dynamite Kid, the British Bulldogs, who were in their t-shirts, Killer Bees, and they didn't have the jackets or the masks. It was just basically them single on the card. Trish Stratus, and she was packaged in a black robe and a black hat. Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and he was in his full black suit ring entrance gear on this particular figure. Stephanie McMahon, who was in a blue tank top and black pants. And finally, the LJN throwback figure in this set was Rob Van Dam.
Did you have the Trish Stratus?
Yes, we have the Trish Stratus actually up on the wall.
Did you get it signed?
No, we actually don't have a Trish Stratus autograph, unfortunately.
What did you get autographed from her? Oh, you got the DVD when you were in New York, right?
Yes, I had her sign a copy of that DVD when we were in New York. The Classic Superstars, while we were in New York, they were only on Series 1. And I wasn't getting action figures signed at that point. In fact, I met John Cena on that WrestleMania 20 trip as well. And also had him sign a copy of the DVD, which you own.
That's right. I got to find that.
Yeah, it's around there somewhere.
I've moved a couple times. I'm not sure where it's at right now.
Yeah, that's how it goes, dude.
What was your favorite figure?
You know, actually, this entire set was really well done. I thought that Rey Mysterio looks awesome. It's kind of a throwback to his younger days in WCW when he was on top of the cruiserweight world there. Love the Bulldog figures in this set. I think the Trish is really well done. It was when she was doing that TNA with Tessa Albert when she was their manager. Right. It's kind of that era Trish Stratus. Really, really well done. The Killer Bees, even though they're not packaged together, they're packaged separately. I'm a big fan of those two figures. I thought that, you know, for as, quote, basic as they are, I thought that they totally nailed the Killer Bees. The Triple H and Stephanie, for me, were kind of okay. I really like the look of Triple H in his full ring entrance gear, but you know me and the complaints about figures and wearing entrance gear. I'm not a big fan. Stephanie's just kind of basic looking to me. And of course, the RVD I think is fantastic and the LJN throwback look. Having to select a favorite, though, I would probably go with the British Bulldogs. If you ask me, these two British Bulldog figures remind me of the old WWF magazine. And in the middle of the magazine, they would always have a catalog, a product catalog. And these figures remind me of the British Bulldogs holding Matilda, promoting the shirts that they're actually wearing as these action figures right here. They're promoting that kind of raglan look with the British flag on the front. I always loved that look in the catalog, and they totally captured in the action figures here. So for me, those are my two favorites.
I agree with you. The Bulldogs, I wasn't even a fan of when they showed that they were going to be coming with t-shirts.
Yes.
I was waiting on that Deluxe Classic. What eventually came out to be the Deluxe Classic, I was waiting. I was hoping they put those out in the Jack's Classic earlier.
Yes.
When they put these in t-shirts, I was upset. I was like, why are they doing that? Just give me the 85 look of the blue tights and the red tights. And
yes,
but when I saw these, I was like, yeah, I'm not leaving the store without these.
Yeah, those figures are total win. And you know, I just griped about Triple H being in the full ring gear, and I'm not a fan of that, but these figures are definitely the exception to my rule. It just, like I said, it reminds me of those old WWF magazine catalogs. It seemed like the Bulldogs were always wearing those shirts. So for me, that was just a nostalgia thing for me. And Jax did those figures really well. So yeah, those are definitely my favorites. Just a total home run, in my opinion.
I agree with you. Your least favorite?
I'm going to say Stephanie McMahon. There wasn't a lot to that figure. You know, blue tank top, black pants. That could have been in the Ruthless Aggression series. You know, or another series in a two-pack or something. It was, to me, kind of a throwaway figure. They could have done more with the Stephanie. So that one's my least favorite.
I completely agree with you 100%. Scott, we are going to announce two winners in this next segment. We're going to announce the winner of who turned in the most correct picks, and also the winner of the figure 64 tournament.
I'm literally nervous. This has been way too long between podcasts that I've had to wait to find out who won. I know who I want to win, and I've actually been really nervous about this. Like this whole tournament has stressed me out big time, because I have no control over who wins anymore. It's completely stressing me out.
next year we're choosing all the winners.
Yeah, sorry listeners, we pick.
We're swerving you.
Yeah. We just went heel.
Yeah, let's get into that.
1, 2, you hear the clock ticking,
tick tock,
you about to stop living,
tick tock,
I want you to remember me,
tick tock,
but the dead don't have no memory.
I'm coming.
Scott, I'm gonna muscle through this. You do not know the winner yet again.
No, totally legit. I do not know who won this thing.
It came down to two iconic figures. Macho defining moment and Hogan defining moment.
Yes, two totally perfect action figures.
Your favorite figure was involved in this too.
Yes, my Hogan defining moments, which I feel perfectly captures the 80s Hulk Hogan. The mega powers exploded. These are like two of my favorite figures ever.
So, Scott, we have the votes, and they have been tallied.
Okay, so it was what to what? Give us the final number and then tell us who won. I can wait no longer.
The final score was 29 to 18.
That's it?
That's it. I will put it on me because I have been radio silent on Twitter because I've been sick, and maybe I haven't been pushing it as much.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was, dude. You basically like were down for like a week, plus you were at WrestleMania, so.
Yeah, so I'll put this one on me as the reason that there were little votes. But the final score was 29 to 18.
Okay, so we have 47 votes. That's still okay.
This was tallied between Instagram and Twitter.
Okay.
Do want to thank the editor for helping out on the Instagram tallies.
Oh, you're welcome.
We will announce the winner and who Pollyanna is going to make with their next pin.
Now, let's keep in mind, they've already made a Hogan in the Hasbro form, and they've already made a Macho Man in the Hasbro form.
So, Scott, by the way, I do want to plug Pollyanna.
Yes, at Pollyanna DIY.
At Pollyanna DIY, please visit them. Go purchase their Bret Hart pin for $8. That's it, man. $8. And what was it, like $4 shipping, $5 shipping? It's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It's theft, dude.
Yeah, go support them. They have been great. We cannot thank Jacob enough.
Yeah, and their pins are killer. I can't wait. Tell me the news. Who won?
Yes. Oh, by the way, I just got my Bret Hart pin, and I absolutely adore it.
Outstanding.
Yes, I do adore it. And I meant to thank him, but again, I've been radio silent on Twitter a little bit, so.
Well, when you run at a fever of 102, you know.
So, Scott, with the final score of 29 to 18... Pollyanna will not be making your Hogan defining moment and will be making the Macho defining moment. So, Scott, that will be the next pin. The Macho defining moment.
All right. Did you tell Pollyanna already? Do they already know who won?
No, I have not.
Okay. Are you going to make him listen to the podcast in order to find out which pin he's making?
I need to hit him up. He sent me a happy birthday thing on
Twitter. Oh, nice.
And between Monday and Tuesday, dude, I have not even remotely been on Twitter that much. So okay. I got to respond back to him. So Macho defining moment wins the first ever March Madness 64 figures.
All right. Well, I think this year was definitely a trial on how this was going to go and how do we go about selecting the figures and picking winners. And I think we've kind of learned from the way that we did things this year, and then we'll definitely fine-tune that. No pun intended, fine-tune. We'll fine-tune that next year and get it really pared down, and we'll run it again for sure. Be some new figures in there. We'll let the listeners contribute. I had a lot of fun with it this year. I got to tell you, I really, really enjoyed this. I would think about it during the week and then hope that the listeners wouldn't swerve me. Apparently, they had to wait until the final match to do that. But I'm super excited about the figure that won, and I'm sure Pollyanna is going to do that Macho Man figure a lot of justice.
So should we announce who the winner is?
Oh, yeah, that part.
So the winner of the most correct, or we actually did it by the point system that you told us about.
Yes.
And so the winner is a gentleman by the name of Tim Stone. He is at TBS TST. Stone, S-T-O-N-E. He is the winner. He had the most points with 230.
Wow. Nice job. He picked the Macho Man winner?
He did.
Excellent. Nice job.
So he will be receiving the Macho Defining Moment pin.
Sweet. Congratulations. Well done, sir.
Well played, Tim. So, Scott, that rounds out the March Madness bracket.
I'm kind of sad. What are we going to talk about next week?
You get your surprise question back.
Oh, dude. No, let's do another round of 64.
Do two packs?
Yes. A round of 64 two packs. Excellent idea.
I don't want to do this again for another year.
Bushwhacker Hasbro's win. Just kidding.
I like what you did there. So, Scott, I think it's time to talk about the WrestleMania trip that we went on. And obviously, you can tell it's not been a good one for me.
Yeah, Orlando turned heel.
Yeah, that's what Chris said. He goes, man, Florida turned heel on you.
Full heel. They super kicked you into oblivion.
Wish they had super kicked this cough out of me, dude.
Well, apparently, given your fever, they super kicked you to the sun.
Oh, let's get into our WrestleMania trip. So, Scott, we'll just kind of run down our WrestleMania trip. We'll kind of start off at Access. This one, it was starting to become a Sami Zayn thing. Do you remember last year when I told you that we were in line for Sami Zayn for 2 hours?
Yeah, and then you lucked out because the guy in front of you kind of started crying about not getting the autograph.
Right, right. Well, it almost happened again with Cesaro and Sheamus.
Oh, wow.
So we got in line because we got into Access. We started looking for Cesaro and Sheamus. Those were the two that I wanted the most.
Right.
Went all around, finally found them. By the time we found them, the line was, it was a good length, wouldn't you say?
It was about half, I would say. It wasn't too bad. Like, I looked at it saying, this is feasible. We could make it.
Yeah. So we got into line, and of course, like Access lines, it took forever and a day.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help that they had a camera crew interviewing them from WWE while they were up there to sign to meet the fans and sign things for the fans.
They had a plant in the that was basically part of WWE who went up. The camera crew was behind him, and he was talking to Cesaro and Sheamus, and he was all animated. And I'm like, crap, this is taking up the 2 hours that Cesaro and Sheamus are up here.
So wait a second. WWE put a plant in the crowd to take up their time and away from fans that wanted signatures so that they could record it?
Yes.
Ugh. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I took a picture of it. I think I sent it to you because I was so angry.
Oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they've got 2 hours and they bounce back and forth between the fans. Or they bounce back and forth between the ADA line and the regular fans that are waiting in line.
Right.
So they split up their time there. But then WWE has a camera crew and this plant who's all animated and just, I don't know what he's saying, but it's like, crap, dude, they're up there for 2 hours. You need to move this along quickly.
And by quickly, legit, like 20 minutes.
Wow.
So it got to be about 7:40, and luckily we got up there with about 20 minutes to spare. I was panicking because I thought it was the same thing with Sami Zayn was going to happen again this year.
Yeah, cut off the line.
Yep, exactly.
And I felt super bad because you know how Sheamus had that huge gash over his eye?
Yeah.
You could tell he was actually in pain while having to be up there because he kept putting his head in his hands. I felt super bad.
Poor guy.
But overall, Sheamus and Cesaro were just awesome. They were just great guys.
Did they ask you about the podcast, like how things were going with the podcast? I'm sure they were big fans of yours.
I saw that tweet. That was hilarious, dude. Well played.
Got a lot of action on Twitter, actually. That was pretty funny.
And what was your tweet again?
Well, I tweeted at Cesaro and at Sheamus something like, hey, super cool you guys met the Fully Posable crew or something like that, or one half of the Fully Posable crew. I bet you guys were super excited about that. And the best part is both of them put a like on it. I think without realizing I was being like extra snarky, I don't think either one of them picked up on that.
That was hilarious, dude. Well played, well played. Then I went to go get Ron Simmons' autograph. Ron was just leaving, because he was done with the 2-hour time block.
Uh-huh.
He was just leaving right as I got into his line, because his line wasn't that long at all.
Uh-huh.
So I jumped in, and he was at the ADA line, and then he took off. He went to the bathroom, and then that was it.
Oh, man. Did you follow him into the bathroom?
No. I don't have the cojones like you do.
Come on, dude. Where's your dedication to that autograph? You slide it under the stall door.
Just put a paint pen and say, you know what to do.
Right, right. Hold your phone up over the door and be like, dude, sign the picture or sign the figure or else.
But then Jim Cornette was the next person up.
Oh, okay.
And I was so ticked because I was like, oh man, I don't have his FTC figure to get signed. I was like, I was so disappointed by that, dude.
Ugh, that sucks.
We were on Access on Thursday, and WrestleCon was Friday and Saturday, so yeah. We weren't able to pick it up till Friday. But the funniest thing happened. There was a lady that was standing there, and all I hear her say is, oh my God, you don't know who that is? You don't know who that is? And you call yourself a wrestling fan? And just walked off talking about Jim Cornette.
Wow.
Yeah, she was like mad at the person for not knowing who that was.
Jeez.
Yeah. We didn't do any VIPs that night. The premium VIP was Randy Orton. The two VIPs were Enzo and Cass and Sasha Banks.
Okay.
Yeah, didn't do any of that. Next day was WrestleCon, and we got there. Oh, actually, let me rewind a little bit. After we got done at Access, WrestleCon was basically half a mile away from the convention center.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's like across the street.
Yeah, it was across the street, actually. And Chris goes, hey, I'm starving. You guys want to go to dinner? And we're like, yeah, we'll go to dinner. So we went to dinner with Chris. While nice. We were sitting, yeah, while we were sitting there, a bunch of people came in. Eugene came in because it was in the hotel where WrestleCon was. So like Eugene came in, Matt Stryker walked by, Phineas and Henry Godwin sat next to us.
Oh, dude, that's cool.
Yeah, I think Phineas was about 15 sheets to the wind. So
awesome.
He wasn't holding up too well.
Living the gimmick, brother.
Yeah, exactly. Next day at WrestleCon, he looked great though.
He recovered. He kicked out of that hangover.
Oh, dude, I wish I could kick out of feeling like that, dude. Next day at WrestleCon, we met up with Chris again. FTC, the opening day, we're doing pretty good. They sold a couple belts. They sold the UFC, two UFC titles.
Okay.
Chris said that was huge right there, selling those two belts.
Good.
They had a discount on the Ring of Honor figure, Series 1.
Oh, they discounted them?
They dropped them $5 down to $20.
Oh, wow. Even the Steen?
Even the Steen.
Wow.
Yep. I saw a few people come up, purchase the bucks, who else did we see? Oh, AJ moved pretty well.
Good.
They had the four ROH loose figures on sale too. And I forget how much they were selling them for, but not on card, just loose, hanging out. And those moved pretty well too.
Yeah, FTC is actually selling those on their website as well. The loose ROH Series 1.
Oh, they are?
Yes, they're selling those on the website.
How much?
Man, don't quote me, but I thought they were $59.99.
Oh, for all four?
For all four, yes, loose. Don't quote me. You'd have to go to the website and check.
One thing about WrestleCon this year, it seemed like there were a lot more vendors. That was a good thing for WrestleCon this year. But one of the down things is quite a few wrestlers ended up missing WrestleCon this year. So Terry Funk, due to health, didn't make it. Rick Martel, I don't know why he didn't make it. But the main players were still there. Edge and Christian, Hardys, Sting.
JR King,
yeah. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash.
I heard Del Rio didn't make it either, and apparently that was due to filming, I think.
Yeah, he was on Periscope or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was a Periscope thing.
Actually, that was more of a Page joke, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to...
I told you, this segment I'm working blue, dude.
But the cool thing was... also we got to meet Vicky Guerrero. She was so nice, dude.
Really?
Genuinely happy. Like, she couldn't wipe the smile off her face for each person. Like, she never lost that smile both days.
Oh, that's awesome.
Each fan that came up She was so happy. She shook their hand. She was just asking how we were all doing, unlike other people who will remain nameless.
No, dude, screw that. Name them.
He's referring to last
year. I'm referring to last year.
Last year's debacle. Gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were there this year, too.
Yes.
Did they change?
No.
See? What the hell?
I don't know, dude.
We even had a listener call them out on that crap, too.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris Esparza.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, man. That was awesome, but apparently they didn't listen.
Friday was kind of a miss. I got Stevie Ray's autograph. I got his Elite figure signed in yellow paint pen, which actually came out really good.
That was a good choice.
Who else? I got a couple autographs.
Nasties.
Brian Knobbs wasn't looking too good.
Yeah, you got a signature and a flu virus from Brian Knobbs.
I think that's where I'm going, dude. I think that's where I got it.
You're like, I paid for this?
Oh, you also got the Blue Meanie and the Blue Meanie signed.
Yeah, I got the Blue Meanie signed with a blue paint pen.
Nice.
Which, by the way, Chris has my blue paint pen. I'm calling you out, Chris. Because he went and got Hawkins signed. His Hawkins figure signed.
Oh, with that blue paint pen. Yeah, I saw the pictures.
It looked great, too.
Yep.
He got, I think, the Blue Meanie and Hawkins signed for his son.
For his son, Zach.
Nice. Now, on a side note, did you happen to see Hawkins while you were there?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Okay.
So, going back to meeting Blue Meanie, it was cool because I also had that Jax BWO Stevie Richards, where he was in the white cutoff shirt and the shorts, and he came with the stop sign.
Oh, you have that figure?
I do.
Oh, whoa.
And I got Stevie to sign it, and it was awesome, dude.
Did he say anything about it?
He was more talking about...
Was he the one that was talking about why they didn't do a three-pack, or...
No, that was Simon Dean. Simon Dean was trying to figure out why... No, Jax never did a three-pack of BWO.
That's actually a valid question because they put out a few questionable three-packs, like putting three random guys together where you're like, what is this? Like, why are Sheik and Volkoff with Bundy? Like, and there was another one, like Coco Beware, Jake the Snake, and like Jin the Anvil or something weird like that. And, like, it made no sense why three of those guys were in a pack together, but yet they could have put the BWO in a three-pack. Like, that would have made way more sense. Probably would have sold better, too.
I completely agree, dude. Like, that would have moved in a lot of areas because a lot of people would have been hunting for that.
Yeah, who didn't love the BWO? Come on.
Exactly. Friday, we also stopped off at Colt Merch Table. Dot Table.
Colt Dot Table. Yeah, that's awesome. He's such a cool dude.
Yeah, we picked up these little rubbery...
Mini Colts
that are really cool.
Oh, you got those.
Yeah, we did.
That's awesome. Those are like a wrestle crate. They're starting to do those. They're going to make more guys like that. Colt was the first.
Yep.
And he sold out of them that day, so I'm glad we were able to pick them up.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Saturday, we got there, and we immediately, of course, like always, went to Chris's booth to see how it was going. And apparently, the minute WrestleCon opened its doors on Saturday, this dude stopped by and dropped about, what did he say, about $400 in FTC figures.
What, he buy every one of them?
I don't know. Chris didn't show, but he basically, this dude came over, he dropped $400 right away, right off the bat. And Chris was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
FTC did really, really well at
good
WrestleCon, so I was happy to see that.
Hopefully they did strong enough business to where they're going to be there next year, because next year, I'm going to WrestleMania as well, baby, so I'm excited.
Jeff Cobb got stopped by, too, and he was talking with Chris also. That was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
We also, that day on Saturday, met Lita, and it was kind of funny. She signed the figure, because I got her Elite signed. She signed the figure. We paid for a photo. We get the photo, and Lita goes, hey, hold on. I want to see how I'm looking today. And so I bring up the picture and I show her and I'm like, you're looking good. Trust me. You're okay. you're doing well. And she started laughing and she goes, all right, cool. She goes, yeah, I don't look bad today. I'm like, no, you don't.
Oh, like, well, let's not get carried away. You know, you looked way better in 2001, but.
And then after Lita, we jumped into line for Sting, and we just waited in line for Sting for about an hour and a half. And then I got up to meet Sting and I said, I'm trying not to mark out right now. I said that to him and he kind of laughed. He signed the Sting Defining Moment pink paint pen. Looks awesome. It was funny too because Celeste was going to post the picture.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I was going to post the picture on Instagram and I'm like, okay, we have three. Which one do you want me to post? And Jeff goes, the one where I'm not marking out. And I looked at him and I said, that's kind of hard. You're marking out in every single one.
That's totally understandable. And I know that every time you meet a wrestler, you ask him a question. Did you have a question to ask him?
Nope, I didn't, dude. I couldn't.
There was no time.
Well, not only was there no time, it was just, it was Sting, dude. Like, I was in awe.
Yeah, there's very few guys. It's a short list of guys that you get up to and you can't think of a question. That's apparently one of them. That's crazy.
If you see the picture, you'll look at his face and you can completely tell he's marking out.
That's awesome. I would have done the same exact thing.
After Sting, we ran over to get Booker T's autograph. Booker was really, really cool, man. He was really down to earth. He was really calm. And we were talking about his Hall of Fame rings and his other rings that he had going on. It was pretty cool.
You should have told him that your favorite Booker T match was when he wrestled Boogeyman at 22.
Why?
No, just get his reaction. I had a buddy tell him that at a signing. And Booker thought that the guy was making fun of him.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, he thought he was. But the guy that was telling him this, like, he was dead serious. Like, that is his favorite Booker T match because he never watched WCW. He's only watched WWE. And he told that to Booker, and it was like Booker wanted to choke him. Like, Booker was not amused, and the guy had to convince him that he was serious. And Booker was like, well, man, you know, I carried him. I did the best I could with what they gave me. But he actually thought that the guy was making fun of him when he told them that that was his favorite Booker T match.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Oh, dude, that's hilarious.
I should
man.
Have told you to tell him that. If I knew you were going to meet Booker, I would have been like, dude, do this.
Well, the Boogeyman was there, too, so that would have been kind of funny.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious. He would have been, hey, Boogie, guess what?
which sucks too, because I had just gotten that Boogeyman figure last week, and I could have taken that to WrestleCon and left out some other figures if I would have known some of these other guys weren't going to be there.
Yeah, that would have been a great figure to get signed.
The one thing that was kind of not cool for me was the fact that Doink and Dink were both there, and Jeff insisted on us walking by their table at least 15 times. And if anybody knows me, I hate clowns.
At least he didn't pay for a photo.
I probably would have ran.
She would have came down with the flu, dude.
Yes. Suddenly muscle cramps throughout her entire body. Has to lay down.
I also got two of the four horsemen signed on that four horsemen pack. The Target one that never moves.
Which two?
I got Barry and Tully signed.
Oh, you still need Arn and Rick. Those are going to be tough.
We're going to be meeting Rick at the Cow Palace.
Oh, that's right. Next month. Or later this month, actually.
Later this month. So get Hogan's autograph and get Rick's autograph.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll just need Arn to complete it, dude.
I was on WrestlingFigs.com, and they've got that signing advertised on WrestlingFigs.com. And right now, I don't know if it's a typo, but they only show Hogan, Steamboat, and Jimmy Hart as appearing at that show. Ric Flair's not listed, so we need to go back to that website and make sure that Ric Flair's still scheduled to be there.
Ah, crap.
I know.
I'm hoping Big Time Wrestling will bring him in.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. And then after meeting Booker T, I think this was my biggest awe moment. I know meeting Sting was a big awe moment, but I met Nikita Koloff, dude, and I was like in awe. I couldn't even say anything. Tony Atlas was talking and he would not stop talking. And I already paid for my Nikita autograph and photo. So I'm trying to get around Tony, and Nikita is just the nicest guy. Like, he keeps looking at Tony like, dude, move out of the way so I can get the picture with this guy, sign his figure, you know, talk to him a bit. And Tony would not get out of the way, but Nikita was just, he kept talking to me and he was asking me questions of like, hey, where are you guys from? You know, just very personable.
Yeah.
And Nikita was just the greatest guy, dude. I marked out right there.
Did you end up dropping Tony Atlas or what?
No, Nikita actually pushed him to the side and got around him as Jeff was fangirling out. I wouldn't even say Mark. I would call him a fangirl at that point.
Yeah, that Aww. One, dude. That one, I was so happy. And he asked where we were from. And I was like, oh, from California. He goes, oh, okay, I'm in the Pismo Beach area. I have a home over in the Pismo Beach area. I was like, oh, okay.
You're like, what's your address and phone number? I'll come see you.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to be in Long Beach. I guess I could stop by.
Yeah. Let's go have a drink, Nikita.
That was pretty much WrestleCon, man. there wasn't much time to talk to the people unless they didn't have that long of a line.
What did you ask Nikita? Like, what kind of questions did you ask him?
I didn't get a chance to because of one of Tony Atlas, but he was asking us more questions.
Okay.
I told him, I said, this is one autograph I've been looking forward to. I said, I've been so excited about this one. I said, because up in Northern California, we never got NWA guys out in our area.
Right.
But we always got the WWF guys.
Yep.
So I said, meeting you, meeting Barry Windham, meeting yes. Tully Blanchard last year, meeting Sting, this is a huge moment for me.
Yes.
And he just said, he goes, thank you very much. He goes, that means a lot.
I would have loved to have asked him if a face turn was going to happen regardless of Magnum TA being in that accident. Like, would Nikita eventually have turned good if Magnum hadn't gotten in the car accident? Like, of course, I think they sped that process along, but I'm just kind of curious if, like, that would have happened eventually at some point. I also heard a rumor that he was slated to win the Intercontinental title in the WWF had he accepted their contract offer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was one of the rumors about Nikita, is that WWF was pushing hard to get him, like, around, like, 87, 88, and if he had signed on with them, he would have won the Intercontinental belt.
Oh,
just one of the rumors that I read. I would have loved to have asked him a couple of those questions.
That would have been a good fit, too.
But, you know, knowing me, I probably would have been like, oh, it's so so awesome to meet you. And then, like, not asked him any questions. And then, like, thought of it later while I'm podcasting.
That's what I did, dude. One of the best things about this whole trip was just meeting the listeners. Met quite a few.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. We met Seth and his wife Chick Foley. Remember they sent in their husband and wife top five?
Yep.
Got to meet them.
We ran into them a few times.
Yeah, ran into them numerous times. Yeah, we got to meet Fred from the Kayfabe Connection. Just met him and his wife Laura, dude. They were awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
We did a little toy spotting at the Superstore.
Access Superstore.
Oh, right on.
Met Jordan Cassatt and his buddy Chris at Kevin Couchinson on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And also met this guy who was behind us in line to get into Mania. His name was Drew. And he goes, excuse me, do you run the Fully Posable podcast? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I listen to your show every week.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm like, whoa. And so him and I and his girlfriend, the editor, we all talked for a little bit while we were going in. But it was just cool meeting everyone, because last year we were still new, we were still green.
Right Now this time around, few more listeners on board, but dude, wait till next year in NOLA. I mean, it's not going to be as spread out as Orlando. There's going to be way less space to go in NOLA. You're going to be so on top of everybody. We're going to meet so many listeners next year. It's going to be insane. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to do shots on Bourbon Street with Brandon. Bring it, brother. We're going to do some Jaeger next year.
Now we'll get into, what did you think of NXT, Scott?
What did I think of NXT? You know, I really enjoyed that show. I thought that the eight person tag team match was awesome. I loved the inclusion of Chris Hero in that. Smart move to pull. I do like No Way Jose. Smart move to pull him out and feature Cassius Ohno on that one. I really liked it. I thought that the title match, the Shinsuke and Bobby Roode match, was good. I think I enjoy Shinsuke and Samoa Joe a little bit more than I do Shinsuke and Bobby Roode, just because Samoa Joe and Shinsuke have a more hard-hitting style. And they seem to mesh better, whereas Roode is more of a technical guy. I thought it was okay. I loved the tag team elimination match. I thought that that was absolutely match of the night, possibly match of the weekend, and a strong contender for match of the year. That was so well done. Absolutely loved the work of all six guys in that one. I thought that they made the Authors of Pain, whom I'm not a huge fan of, I'll admit. I do love me some Paul Ellering, but I'm not a huge fan of the Authors of Pain. I thought that they booked them so well in that match, and they made them look like absolute monsters, because there were at least two or three times in that match that I can think of where you're like, oh, wow, they're going to kick out the Authors of Pain out of this match first, and it's going to come down to DIY and the Revival. But it didn't. They kept the Authors in the match. They ended up pulling it out. I thought that they booked them so well. the Asuka match, I thought, did its job. It's definitely pushing Asuka into that heel role, which I think she'll do a really good job in. So overall, I thought that NXT was awesome. I really enjoyed it. Probably my least favorite match, and surprisingly so, was the Nakamura and Bobby Roode match. But that tag team elimination, that's going to be up there for a match of the year candidate for sure.
Match of the year, huh?
You didn't care for it?
I thought it was good. Have you seen Okada Omega?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a candidate. I'm not saying it's match of the year, dude. I'm just saying it's a candidate.
Oh, okay.
It'll be in that conversation.
Gotcha.
Did they show anything after the Shinsuke Bobby Roode match, or did it just end with him, Bobby Roode, leaving?
Yeah, if I recall correctly, because I've only watched it once, the whole show anyway, I believe it ended with Bobby Roode on the stage.
So what you didn't see then was Shinsuke basically giving his goodbye.
Yes. There were a ton of videos posted to Twitter, though, after the fact.
I'm sure.
So yeah, they didn't show it on the broadcast. They absolutely did not. Obviously, I don't think that they wanted to do the whole goodbye to Shinsuke because he was going to show up like 3 nights later on SmackDown. That would have given too much away. They ended the broadcast with Bobby Roode on stage, I believe. But yeah, if you go onto Twitter, there's a ton of videos of Shinsuke's goodbye, which was awesome.
Oh yeah, because he was still in the ring, and I'm looking at Jeff, and I look at him, and I'm like, I think he's doing his goodbye. Like, why is he still in the ring? The only reason he's in the ring is to say goodbye.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, well, you know, he did his year. That's all you can ask. 2-time champion. You know, only one other guy did that in the history of NXT. So good for Shinsuke, man. He's on to bigger and better things for sure.
What did you think of the little surprise visitor?
You know, I was never the biggest Drew Galloway fan. I know Jeff really likes him a lot.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I know Jeff's a big fan. I've always just kind of thought he was okay. Obviously, I don't follow TNA, so I didn't see any of his TNA work. I'm anxious to see what he'll do in NXT. I always thought he was a good wrestler. I just never really got into him too much. But I'm excited to see what he'll do in NXT. You know, he's going to earn his way back onto the main roster now. That's definitely the way it should be done. Look what Bobby Roode's doing. And I'm excited to see what he does going forward. But it seems like every takeover now, you can almost count on them kind of introducing a new person in, which I think is great.
Overall, I thought it was a good show. I will agree with you about the Nakamura and Roode match. It just didn't live up to what I was hoping it would be.
Yeah, it's two conflicting styles, I think. Like I said, I'm more of a fan of like the Shinsuke and Samoa Joe match as opposed to the Shinsuke and Bobby Roode match. It was good, but I think Shinsuke and Samoa Joe was a lot better.
And then the next day was Mania, and that's when my trip started to go south.
What was it that Adam Sandler joke about the sun? F the sun? That was you. That was you on WrestleMania Sunday.
We got to the Camping World early, and we were kind of waiting out front for them to open the gates. And the gates opened at 3:30, but what they did is they let everyone into this little waiting area, but the waiting area was right out in the sun.
No, that was at 2:30.
Oh, that was at 2:30, yeah. But the gates to go into the stadium didn't open till 3:30. So they filled up that area. Celeste goes, "Do you want to go in?" I'm like, "No, I am not feeling the best right now. I do not want to go in." We would have been out in the heat.
No, we would have been in the one shaded spot had we gone in right when they opened it.
Well,
you didn't want to, though.
Yeah, I was happy in the shaded area outside of the stadium. I'm standing out there sweating, not feeling the best.
We were drinking water, anything we could drink, we were drinking it.
Sports drinks, everything. We got into the stadium and they didn't have sports drinks. At least we couldn't find them, I should say.
No, they did not have them.
So we were just down in waters, but I was trying to get like electrolytes. Celeste was getting me these frozen drinks, these like blue raspberry frozen drinks.
It was gross, but it was cold.
Yeah, I just needed something cold. So we sit down inside where it's nice and cool. And I was like, okay, let's go to our seat. We get to our seat. The sun's beating in on our seat.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. It's 92 degrees. I'm feeling every bit of it, dude.
Yuck.
I do have to say Mania was a good show. It's one of the better WrestleManias I've been to.
I will say 7 hours is just too much.
Yeah, 7 hours was way too much.
It's getting to be a drag. I agree with you guys. It's just from start to finish between pre-show and the main event, it's just too long. And, you know, Jim Ross actually the other day was doing an interview or a podcast or something. And I guess there's talk of extending WrestleMania to 2 days.
What?
Yep, making WrestleMania a two-day show, which at first you're like, what the hell? No, because we've had 33 of them now and they've been fine. But if you look at it, they're getting longer every year. WrestleMania used to be a three-hour show.
Right.
Now WrestleMania is like a five-and-a-half-hour show, which extends to even longer when you include the pre-show.
Right.
There is enough talent on the roster to be able to do a two-day show. So when you actually, like, you get over that initial, like, no, we've always done it this way, you actually think about it, you could actually do 2 3-hour shows with a 1 hour pre-show ahead of them.
So you got to buy two separate tickets?
Why not?
Oh,
I'm actually all for it. I'm 100% on board with that, dude. You do Hall of Fame Thursday, NXT Friday, WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday, Raw Monday, SmackDown Tuesday.
I guess that makes sense.
And then NXT taping on Wednesday. How sick would that be, dude? That's like a whole week of wrestling. And good luck fitting in anything else. Like your WrestleCons and your Evolves and your Progresses and all those other shows. Dude, WWE could monopolize that entire week.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. You would be buying two WrestleMania tickets. That would be insane, but they've got the roster to pull it off.
That is true. So overall, what did you think of Mania?
I actually really, really enjoyed Mania this year. I thought match of the night overall, and I'm going to include the pre-show here, was Neville and Austin Aries. I thought that was definitely the best match on the card.
That was a great match.
Yeah, it was amazing. I thought Neville's heel move of gouging Austin Aries' injured eye was just so fantastic. It definitely cemented him as that heel that will do anything to retain his title. Great job on both.
His eye hole?
Yeah, his eye hole. His eye that looked like a mouth after it got injured. That was disgusting. Yeah, I would definitely say that was match of the night. But, I mean, come on. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the huge surprise. You were there. You experienced it full on. Like, what was that like?
Hands down, that was the loudest pop I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, and ever. We've been watching wrestling for, like, what? Are we on, what, 32 years now?
Yeah, around there.
And watching wrestling on TV, which I've done, obviously, more than I've witnessed wrestling live, I've never heard a pop like that on television, ever. Never, ever have I heard a pop like that. And I'm including Hogan and Rock in that. I've never heard a pop like that on television, dude. That was amazing.
That pop will never happen again.
No.
It would take something really, really special, and I don't know what that would have to be. The combination of the surprise, who actually came out, the music hitting, all of those things were perfect, and just what a WrestleMania moment. I put it up there with Hogan coming out to save Eugene at 21 and Seth Rollins winning the title at 31.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, those are my three biggest WrestleMania moments ever.
I can honestly say after that, like I looked at Jeff and said, I have nothing left. I'm done.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because in watching the broadcast, it seemed like that popped the balloon of the crowd. Because the crowd responses for the two title matches were kind of, I don't know, subdued. There didn't seem to be an overly huge response for the Brock and Goldberg match, and even less so for the Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton match. And forget about the SmackDown's women's match. It seemed like the crowd was just kind of crapping all over that. There was literally no sound for that match. And then the crowd really didn't seem to get back into it until Roman Reigns and The Undertaker. At least that's the way that I interpret it in watching it.
No, that's a good way of putting it. The crowd actually came a little bit alive when Brock Lesnar was suplexing Goldberg. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Goldberg just gets up and spears him.
Yeah, that did kind of pop. Yes.
That kind of rejuvenated the crowd for the rest of the show. But you're right. There was that lull where between the Hardys and I forget what else happened. It kind of drained the crowd.
Yeah, it really seemed like it did. I also didn't really care for them putting the two title matches back to back. I think that there should have been a buffer in between those. And I don't know what match you would have done that with. But overall, I really did enjoy Mania. And I will say this, the Hardys' surprise was the lube for the Roman Reigns fisting later. The crowd could not have crapped on Roman Reigns harder than they did. So they needed that Hardy surprise to really balance that out.
Oh.
Oh dear.
Why does Vince hate us?
Well, see, then he loves you and he gives you the Hardy surprise. And then later he just sticks it to you with the Roman Reigns win.
With Roman Reigns' fist.
They probably could have skipped that whole match and Justin did the Undertaker basically saying goodbye. I would have been fine.
Yes. Yes. But that the Undertaker being the traditionalist that he is, you
had to
always
go out on
knew
his back.
When. Yes, exactly. You always knew that when the Undertaker had his last match, that's how he was going out. And to be perfectly honest, his streak ending at 30 probably should have been his last match. His match against Bray at 31 was really a throwaway match. It wasn't spectacular. His match against Shane last year, Shane basically took all the sick, crazy bumps in that one. Typical Shane match. And this year's match against Roman, he just looked like he was hurting the whole time. So really, I think with the streak ending at 30, that should have been it. But you know, who am I? You know, I'm just a dude with a podcast. I don't know anything. Vince is the wrestling guru. He knows all. I thought it was a good send-off. Definitely, it's the way it should have been done with Roman Reigns coming out, establishing himself as WWE's next big guy. Really, look, it's Roman Reigns' show. You know, we're just all, it's his world. We're just kind of a little part of it. So that's the way WWE is now. So we've got to accept it. You know, again, I don't hate Roman Reigns. He is what he is. You know, at least we have guys like AJ and Nakamura that we can cheer for and tag teams like The Revival and Enzo and Cass. You know, Roman Reigns is just, it's his world now. And that's what Vince thinks. So we just kind of have to go along with it and cheer the other parts of the show. I'm okay with it. But the one thing, look, okay, so we say what we say about Roman Reigns. And again, we've been watching wrestling for, what, 32 years now. And I think you'll agree with me when I say the WWE / WWF roster has never, ever been this strong. As long as I've watched wrestling, they've never, ever had a roster like this. Tell me a roster that WWE / WWF has had in years past where they had absolutely no problem filling almost 8 hours of a pay-per-view and left two guys on the bench in Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. I can't.
I cannot either.
They've never had a roster like this, dude. So what a good time it is to be a wrestling fan. Like, really, like, as much as we all love wrestling, bask in it, because there's never been a roster like this and there's never been a better time to be a fan. Plus, you still have a full stock of independents out there that are doing better than ever. Look at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They're flourishing.
Yep.
And WWE is still cherry picking all the best guys off the indies, and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is still flourishing. Evolve, all these other shows out there, House of Hardcore, they're flourishing. It's such a good time to be a fan right now. The WWE's roster has never been stronger. You know, I can't say the same for TNA. They're just getting pillaged, but that's kind of their issue. You know, it's funny. I had a buddy at WrestleMania weekend, and he was at a bar. Jeff Jarrett stopped in and happened to ask him for directions to a show that he was heading to.
What?
And I was like, dude, you should have given him directions on how to properly run a wrestling company. That would have been more appropriate. But I'm really happy with the state of wrestling right now. It's such a good time to be a fan. And when you get the Monday call-ups like you did with The Revival and the Tuesday call-ups like you did with Shinsuke and Perfect 10... Just, and Finn Balor coming back to Raw finally. Just, dude, what an exciting time to be a fan. I'm just completely coming off of the WrestleMania high. So in love with wrestling right now and just loving every part of it. It's such a good time.
Mark.
That's exactly how you should have ended that segment. Well done. Well done. I can't say enough about the state of wrestling right now. It's such a good time to be a fan. And look at all the figures we're getting.
That is true.
All these killer figures. We had a huge news segment. Ton of figures coming out.
We're also going to, New Japan's coming over here, over to the West Coast.
Yes, they are.
They're going to be in Long Beach. So
yeah, that was my birthday present to Jeff, getting him the New Japan tickets. By the way, if anybody didn't know, it was Jeff's birthday Monday after WrestleMania. We call it WrestleMania Jeff birthday weekend.
I called it Jeff was in the ER because of dehydration.
Well, you know, dude, when you're running 105 degree fever, you know, you ran hard on your birthday.
Oh, dude. 5 days later, I'm still feeling it, man.
That sucks.
So, Scott, that wraps up episode 64. Good episode, dude.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was fun. Celeste, thank you for sitting in and telling your yearly WrestleMania story.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Scott. Scott, for episode 64, anything else?
Yes. Happy birthday to the best host in the wrestling figure podcast world. Happy 38th birthday, brother.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
And buy the shirt and happy toy hunting.
Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.